Even if we live in the same house, our minds go in different directions. There's just different things, tasks, daily things that go on. There's sick people. We pray for those people right now that couldn't be here that are sick. We pray for the people that are traveling. Matt and Hal, as they're flying back today, I pray that you would make all their flights on time and everything would go good. But the biggest thing is I pray, Father, that they would have impact with someone on that plane, someone in that airport. That's what's important. It's not our schedule, it's yours. So we pray for that. I just pray, Father, that you would just help me to fill this gap for Matt this morning without any saying anything harmful. It's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God has to say, and I just need to relay that. And I would just thank you for this opportunity, these people being here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple weeks ago when I stood up for Matt, I talked about faith and what your faith is in. And it's really important not to just go through the motions. We're so busy during our lives that we can get to the point where we just do things, not even think about it. We don't really know. Any of you that were raised in any churches that did a lot of rituals, up, down, sideways, whatever it was, you just did it and didn't even think about it. It just come natural. Muscle memory isn't a bad thing, but sometimes we become so used to things that we just basically take our life for granted. We take our life how fast it goes. Anybody that's ever suffered an accident or got sick, you come out of that, you appreciate life for a while, and then you get kind of crazy again and just take life for granted. And this project needs done, that project needs done. So I want you to answer this question. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer it silently, obviously. But if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Sounds like a simple question. But if you didn't immediately answer yes, then you better, I hope you did, but if you didn't, you better ask yourself, why did I answer the way I did? You better look through your soul and ask yourself a question. You better ask, why didn't I say yes right off the bat? Why did I have to think about it? Or why did I say, I hope so. Well, maybe. Yeah, I think I will. Because if you didn't say yes, then you're thinking that your salvation depends on you. Just a little bit. There's a lot of denominations. There's a lot of different religions that they know who Jesus is. They know what Jesus did. But Jesus needs a little help. I even get mad. And I totally don't want to offend anybody. But if you're a chick that wears a shirt that says coffee and Jesus, that's all I need. Well, you need Jesus. The coffee is just a plus. And I get how they mean that. But what I'm getting at is that's what our society is going to turn into. Our eternal security doesn't rely on us at all. It's just a gift, right? So couple weeks ago, I talked about faith. So if you got that part straight, Jesus Christ is the only way. I know I'm trusting Him and all the bad things that go on in life, everything that goes. First thing, I'll just tell you a quickie here that when I started dating my wife, the first time I went on a date with her was on a motorcycle ride. And she didn't know it, but she was being interviewed. Because that's kind of how all my dates always went all my life. I'd interview and I'd go, nope, this is over. Well, her on the back, I'm thinking, man, I think this might work, right? But when things started getting a little more serious, we started talking about religion and Jesus and the denomination I had belonged to. There's a lot of works involved to get salvation. And we just couldn't come to terms that I couldn't get through my head that Jesus wasn't enough. It was, but that's just too easy, Nan. That's too easy. I don't buy that. I said, I get that and I believe that. But there's got to be more because that's too easy. I have to do something to show. Well, we finally got over that hurdle. It took a while. Obviously, we worked it out. So when you, I'm going to kind of do this in stages. So let's say you got your faith where it belongs, right? You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You know He died for you. He paid the price. He punched your ticket. He's the bridge to heaven. There's no other way you can go. None. Zero. Because if there was, He wouldn't have did that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, is there any other way? And He said, no. So obviously He didn't do it for... that was the only way. So once you're saved, then you start to think about other people, right? And you say, how do I bring this up? How do I... Because, man, I've had gas on a fire reactions if I even bring it up. It's funny how you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about the Muslim. You say the word Jesus, it even makes you feel a little bit funny if you want to be honest. It makes you just feel different because that's the power it's got. I've had people say to me, wow, you're so arrogant. How can you say that? You know you're going to heaven. Or, you know, I've had them, what makes you so special? That type of stuff. So you got to get ready for that, right? Matt's been going through Galatians and stuff, and it talks about the Jews and their, you know, you kind of got to give them a break a little bit. They've been doing this, doing the law and doing all that for hundreds of years, you know. But we're really no different. We've taken and mucked up and mixed in man religion with just pure, simple salvation. So after you've... because God would really think about it. God wants to keep you out of the equation, really, of salvation, because where did this mess kind of start? The sin started not with Adam and Eve like we think, but it started with Satan. He was going to be like God. He's going to be arrogant. He can run it better. If you really stop and think about that, he must have been pretty good because he got a third of the angels to follow him. So no wonder God's really concerned about our attitude and how arrogant we get, and he can squish us pretty fast, as most of us kind of know, if we start carrying that arrogance a little too far. So if you look at, if you want to go to your Bible, you can go to Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, and it's up on the board. Heard this 100 times, right? If you're in your Bible very much or you go to any church services, you've heard this before. For grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no man should boast or no one should boast. Kind of says it all right there. Grace, you didn't earn it. It's like a gift. I hand Lyle a gift. I say, here you go, Lyle. Lyle either chooses to take it or he doesn't. And that faith that really is just a quick action in your mind that you're going to accept that I can't get there without you, God. I can't get there without Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. And it says right in there, not a result of works, because He knows us. Look at me, I got my name. I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Look at me, I got my name under a church window. I got my name on a park bench. I got my name in the bulletin that says I give X amount of dollars. And look at me, I donate these t-shirts. I give this to the... It goes sideways so fast because that's our human nature. Obviously, when you do something nice for somebody, you're going to feel good about it. But your salvation has nothing to do. Once we get that in our head that Jesus Christ did it all, and without Him, we're in trouble, right? So then I'm all good about that, but then go to the next verse, chapter in verse 10, and then it kind of sends things into a tizzy a little bit for me. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before hands so that we would walk in them. Well, I thought you just said it didn't take works. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about after salvation. And then you go, well, good works, what's that mean? Now I have to move to Africa and be a missionary. What do I do? Make no mistake, there's lots of good works in this world that have nothing to do with God. You cannot say that a guy that builds a cancer hospital for kids isn't a good thing. And he might be a total unbeliever, right? We're talking about the good works. Once you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a definition of a good work is something that glorifies God. You're doing that because of who God is, what God has done for you. You're not trying to impress God. That's another thing we do. And don't take offense when I say we. I should be just saying me. But we try to make brownie points. God doesn't work that way. We need to stop putting him in human virtues and essence. God is not a human being. I mean, we have some of his characteristics, but he doesn't like you one day and hate you the next day. He doesn't go like this and he doesn't know what's going to happen the next day. He's there past, present, and future, which is hard to wrap your mind around it. But these good works could be something it could be something crazy. This church does a lot of good works as far as God looks at. When the money that goes out of this church goes to Pakistan, India, builds churches, digs wells, things like that. Them are good works. Obviously, God would smile on those good works because you're doing that to glorify God because you're trying to get God, you're trying to get the message of salvation out there. And so you're using it. But another example of a good work that is more every day is, let's see, how can I do this without showing everything here? So your wife asked you to, could you come here and carry this laundry basket upstairs for me? I just sit down on the couch, turn the TV on, and I'm settled in. It's been a long day. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I could right now tell her I'll take it later or whatever my excuse would be. I could maybe yell across the room. I mean, I don't know if a lot of spouses are the same as my house, but she might be upstairs and I'm downstairs and she's having a conversation with me like I'm in the next room, so I'm supposed to understand everything she's saying. One of those deals. What would God expect me to do in that situation when she asked me that? The biggest thing that the kicker is, why do I do nice things for my wife? Is because I want something? Do I want something in return? Do I want her to be easier to live with? Do I want whatever? You fill in the blank. Or is it what God expects of me? He gave me that spouse. She is a blessing from him. And do I honor God by just putting that self aside? Because that's the difference when we're a new creation in Jesus. That's the last thing I'm going to talk about here. Because I'm just going, I didn't know what to really talk about today as much as it was the things that I always think about and the things that I take for granted. And I hear a lot of these words, like in church services over the years, and did I really stop and think about what they were? And the good works thing is so mixed up because people confuse that with salvation. I got to be good. I got to do this. I got to do this. And then I can earn my way to heaven. And that's a harsh way to say it, but it's a slap in Jesus' face. Because you're saying what you did was not good enough. And I have to add to that. Therefore, I mess it up. I start to add this. I start to add that. And pretty soon we're back like when in Galatians, when he's writing that to the Jews, they had added all these laws to the people and they're breaking their backs, right? They just loaded them down. And Christianity now is the same way in a lot of ways. Not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them are. You got to jump through certain hoops and do certain things. And he tells us that once we're saved, we're a new creation in Christ. And I have trouble with that a little bit because what's that look like? Because it's true. He says it's true. That's why I know it's true. So I got to look at my motivations, number one, and looking at why I'm doing this good work. Am I doing it so I get a pat on the back? Am I doing it because I'm going to make God happy? There was a guy that said something the other day that was really good. He says, quit looking at your Christian life, your Christian walk, as a have to, and look at it as a get to. I get to do this. I get to do this. Like I said before, we should be looking forward to eternity as there's a big party coming on. We should be looking at eternity with people. We should be looking at us saying, man, I want what they got. I want their mood instead of being the one that's all grumpy and depressed all the time. So I just want to look at new creation here a little bit, and then I'll be done yakking. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, I think we put it up there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Well, that's what he wants out of us. He wants all the old things to pass away. We're somebody totally different now, and it's hard to wrap your mind around. It's hard to, man, it's just hard to say, yeah, but I still have that sin nature, and I'm not going to lose that till I die. So I'm always fighting that sin nature, and then, man, it gets to be just this big daily struggle. But if we would just listen to what he's saying there, number one, when you were an unbeliever, you did not have the filling of the Spirit. So you were on your own. God was pursuing you the whole time, but you had to accept that. You had to finally stop and think, okay, I do need you. One of the things that get me riled up is Calvinism. And it says that Melissa, she was chose to go to heaven, but Bob, he wasn't. That's the way God in eternity passed. That's really the name. That's the mainstay of Calvinism. Some of us were chosen, and they go by because in foreknowledge in the past, God has set your path. And well, he foreknew in eternity past who was going to believe, who was not. And he still allowed those people to be born one way or the other. He wishes all men to be saved because 3:16 says, John 3:16 says that. So he's made a path for your life. And I had one guy say one time, all right, I don't even know what I'm doing every day. So what if I make the wrong choice and I go, I'm supposed to be running this straight and narrow path, and all of a sudden there's five. And I don't know which way to go here. And number one, when we're in this book, we learn what path that should be. If we slow down, turn the radio off, turn everything down, and just pray. Just like Dave was talking this morning. Prayer is huge because that's a communication to God. Once again, we've gunked that all up. And he tells you in his word how to pray. He doesn't say repetitious prayers over and over and over and over, the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. He wants you to talk to him. And he will quietly, somehow, through people, something you run into, well, however he uses, will steer you the right direction and that right path. But the crazy thing is, I heard one time, was God knows everything. He knows how it's going to go, and God knows how it would have been. So God knows if you'd have went down this path, how that had turned out. God knows how it would have went that path. God knows what would have happened that path. I always have to turn it sideways in my mind and say, if I'd have married this woman, if I'd have married that woman, what show would I have there? He knows all those things. And the reason he can prepare a destiny and a path for you is because, well, if he goes that way, I got this for him. If he goes this way, I got this for him. I know which way he's going. But if he wants to ever show, if you ever want to know in eternity, go, hey, I just wonder, this is me purely speculating in my twisted mind. go to him, what if I would have did this? He's got it all figured out. And until we learn to just relax, take a deep breath, and realize we're here for one thing, because we didn't blast off this earth once we believed in Jesus Christ. He's still got us here for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve others. And we don't want to hear that, because it sounds like work. The serving others is get them the gospel if they're unbelievers. God will bring people into your periphery if you allow it. You don't have to go out and look. You do not have to conscientiously stop somebody in a train station and start, or a bus station or a airport, and just start talking to them and be that person. Now, it might work that way because God's, the Spirit's leaning on you to do that. But what I'm getting at is He's got you at this time. You were born at this time for a particular time. Don't waste it, because it goes super fast. It will be gone before you know it. Those opportunities will be gone, because these opportunities on this earth right now are on this earth. And after we have died, those opportunities are gone. And life is really, really fast. The Bible talks about it being, in James, it talks about it being a vapor trail. Just boom. It talks in Psalms about being a flower in the field, and boom, you're wilted and you're gone. If you're 20, you don't get it. If you're 60, you really get it, how fast it goes. Do we have to put this big pressure on ourselves to do these good works? No. We just got to start paying attention. We start need to enjoy life. Dave even said the abundant life. That's part of the abundant life, is not how many cars are in my garage. And you might have a bunch of cars in your garage, but that's not what it's all about. You might own a buttload of farm ground. That's not what it's about. It's part of it. You're weaving that in. And you're using those gifts from God to work things in your life to get His... I could never understand really what, like, how do I glorify God? You know, y'all say, glorify God in everything, you know. Well, it isn't... He's got your personality. You have a personality. You have a personality He gave you, is how I should word that. Use that personality. Now, if you're really kind of on the raw side like I am, sometimes don't use that. Like, tone that down, because you're a new creation. So when it says the old have passed away, some of that stuff needs to go away. And it says behold, and I haven't used that word in my vocabulary very often. So it means look, pay attention. New things have come. I mean, you have to admit, if you start not being so nervous about life and what's going to happen, and you're looking at the news, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've been reading your Bible, and you're looking at Revelation, and you're looking at Daniel, this stuff with AI and everything should not be a surprise to you. Is it going to happen next week? I don't know. Is it going to happen 50 years from now? I don't know. Because the Bible says you don't know. But it also said there's signs. There's so much out of these good works and this new creation that you have, this new creature in Christ, that we could use that to our advantage and have such an abundant life, even if we're in a wheelchair, even if we're terminally ill, because this life is so short. That stuff's going to be a blip on the radar. And boom, we're in eternity, face to face. You don't go underground, lay there till somebody decides you're going to pop out of the ground someday. Your body will. Your body's going to come back. He's going to give you a resurrected body someday. But you're face to face, because He told a thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. He didn't say, well, they're going to take you off that cross, and they're going to take you, and they're going to put you and bury you in the ground. And then, you know, someday when I come back, then we're all going to raise... It's not how it works. You're face to face with the Lord. That should be a comfort to us, that our days are numbered. The day we popped out of mom, we had days that were numbered. No matter what we eat, no matter how many push-ups we do, those things might give you a quality of life so that you can do the things that God has destined you to do. But it won't add a day to it, because the Bible says that. So I got one thing to end with this, because my biggest thing is, if you cannot say confidently that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you're going to heaven, then you start thinking, why do I think that? Look at it. Number two, once you get to that point, then what? What do I do with this life? I should have brought it with me. I was almost going to show the video, but we'd have been out of time anyway. But this guy, maybe you've seen this, and I've seen guys do it with a tape measure, and it really gets you when you're with a tape measure, because a guy holds a tape measure up and says, the Bible says a man's years are 70, 80 years, and you go to 80 inches, and if you're like 65, you're going, wow, I'm about out of time. But the really cool thing is this guy holds up a rope, and the rope, it just all over the stage. It's a white rope, and you can't see the end of it. And he goes, just imagine this rope goes to China and back. And he said, then he had right on the end, that much. He had red tape on it. And he said, see this red spot on this rope? He goes, why are we so worried about this little red spot? That's our life right there. And eternity is that rope. And it goes, and it goes, and it goes, and never ends, and never ends. And he goes, but we're all worried about this. What we look like, how we amount to things, what people think of us. We're worried. All our problems. That little red piece of tape right there. He goes, how foolish is that? Well, you hear that, and he goes, yeah, I know, but I don't want to let go of my stuff. God will give you all the stuff you need if you would just turn on to what he has for you to do. And that stuff that he's going to give you might not be material stuff. It might be, do you want patience? Do you want to be joyful even when things are hard? Do you want to have an unexplained peace that you just, I don't get why I'm peaceful in this situation. The doctor just jabbed me and told me, this is the beginning of the end. I think that's worth more than anything we could ever buy ourselves. And he promises that. And we're all, unless the rapture happens, we're all going to be in that place sooner or later where we're going to have to either be in a hospital bed or standing at a hospital bed watching a loved one die or a funeral home or whatever it is. And the reality is going to be, how did I live my life? Because that part's over. And then it's eternity. Why is it so hard for me to give the time I need? Why do I have to read this? How about I get to read this? That's what I keep drilling in my head. Because the enemy is very good at just dumping things and dumping things and dumping things on me so I don't have time. In my mind, I don't have time. So I'm going to read you this. It's in Galatians 6, and I'm going to close with it. And it's verses 9 and 10. Because I kind of want to leave on a good note, because I'm so sick of people being Debbie Downer, doom and gloom. God's got such a bad rap anymore when it comes to the public and the society we live in. Like, he wants to do this to us every day. That's what he wants to do, put us under his thumb and grind us in the ground if we don't submit. And all he wants is, he uses the words that he's our father and we're his children, his kids. Do you want to do that to your kids? If a normal parent, do you want to do that to your kids? You want to grace them out and bless them beyond? He's the same way. So we don't need to sucker and fall for that anymore. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. The word reap, well, obviously we as farmers, we know reap, you reap oats or combine oats or whatever, but that's not the context here. It's used in this context, receive a reward or a benefit as a consequence of one's own or other people's actions. Are you ready to keep hammering it? Keep going? When people look at you funny because of who you believe in and what you do? Are you going to let the problems of life just run you in the ground? Or are you going to be that fake positive person that I'd like to sometimes, like everything is happy all the time? Because guess what? Nobody's life is always happy. Can you have a good attitude and not grumble and complain and bitch and moan about it? Absolutely. That's the way you should be. Will you cry when you're sad? Yep. But if we feel like we're beat down because the enemy knows where to hit you, he knows right where your soft spots are, and when we finally figure out that God's got it and God's more powerful, that the enemy is a created being and God is in complete control. I mean, stop and really think about that, that he's going to let you reap the benefits of your good works, whatever that'll look like in your life, whatever that's going to look like in this, because it's funny that Dave said abundant life in this life too, not just, that's where we screw up. We screw up because we're just doing this and holding on tight, and I think I can do this till I get to eternity. Do it now. Enjoy your life now. Do the things you want to do now, but make them God's things, because those are the things that you're truly your heart's looking for. And until we can get that, and I say me, get that in my thick head, that those are the things that are good for me. Those are the things that are going to fill that empty spot in my soul that I cannot fill. So my challenge to you today is just look through yourself, look through your soul, your mind. Where are you at with God? Where are you at with Jesus Christ? And then where are you at moving forward? And maybe use that if you don't know how to ask somebody about, because it's hard to walk up to somebody and say, are you saved? Or do you have salvation? Or do you have Jesus? Just, what do you think is going to happen when you die? Are you going to heaven? That's a good way to start it. It's a good, simple question that they can start talking and you don't have to talk anymore. So I thank you for giving me a chance here filling in for Matt. And we got to just take up the offering and have one more song and we'll be out of here. I'm just going to pray for the offering though. Father, we know that your word says that you can take money and then you can just stretch it everywhere it goes and you know right where it needs to go. And we pray that this offering would go to further the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout this world. And this money that either goes to BASIC, the youth groups, or it goes to India, it goes to Pakistan. Just use it mightily, Father. These people work really hard for their money. And they're willing to honor you by donating money to you. And just help us to be good stewards of this money in this church. We pray that everybody will have traveling mercies when they leave here today. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. One more song.